Okay, now the first. 10 qualities of Vinaya. You can say 10 qualities. Another thing is 10 aims or 10 purpose. I think 10 purposes, better, of the Vinaya. The Buddha have this in mind when the Buddha established Vinaya. I think you try to use 10 purposes better. You write a 10 purpose. This is one way, this is say qualities, but 10 purposes of Vinaya is better. Okay, please, we are going to change this. Sorry, I didn't pay deep attention. Well, but it's 10 purposes of Vinaya. Now look at it. Look at the. Can anybody try to imagine before I tell you this? Can anybody try to imagine what are the purpose the Buddha established Vinaya? Can anybody say? Put aside the Sangha.
Self protection
from what? Okay.
From
either evil things. Okay. To protect bhikkhus, you say. Let's say Vinaya, for bhikkhu Vinaya, okay, bhikkhus, okay. Okay. Anybody?
Nirvana.
Okay, for Nirvana, okay, for the achievement of Dharma purpose. But directly speaking, Vinaya, you can study all the Vinaya, you don't enter Nirvana. Is it not? It is not direct. You enter Nirvana, you have to do the Sila Samadhi Panya. You have to practice Samatha Vipassana and all that. So it is not direct. You have to tell. Anybody?
To establish the proper relationships between the Sangha and the devotees.
Okay, you may say. Yeah, okay. Some of these may be relevant a bit. Okay.
Sustainability for the Sangha group.
Sustainability of the Sangha group. Okay. Okay, maybe. Good. Let's look at it. Look at the Buddha's consideration. The first, for excellence of Sangha. You know, how the Sangha can flourish, you know, can progress, can expand, can have more recruitment and things like that. Excellence of the Sangha. Why is the Sangha is important? Of course you know, when the Sangha exists in the world, you have the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Then it gives a lot of hope to the world. The world will say, oh, not only the Buddha could get liberation. You know, if we have a Sangha, then even the Sangha can get, the disciples of the Buddha can attain liberation. This is one thing. Another thing is that Sangha is a field of merits for others. You see or not? So in the course of liberation, towards liberation, sometimes you serve as a, you support others, sometimes you receive support of others. Because if you want to earn your own money, just like some of you, you see, it takes some time, you say, oh, 5 years later, I want to go into practice. But how do you know you have 5 years to live? You don't know. You see or not? So if you are a very fortunate person, you are born with a silver spoon in your mouth, then immediately your parents will support you. You don't become a Sangha, but you can immediately go into meditation. Possible. No? But the system of the Sangha allow people who want to practice the Dharma immediately plunge into it. No need to wait. You see or not? And it is a lifestyle which, when you receive the support of other people, you are already enriching people who support you. More than they support you. More than their support. Because of the purity, the Adisila, higher virtues. Adimana, the higher mind. Higher Adipanya, higher wisdom. Or Adichitta, you know. So, because of that training, because of the Sila Samadhi Panya training, the virtues concentration, wisdom training, even just by virtues alone, they deserve the support of other people, and because of that, they become a field of merits for others. So, and because of this, because of the existing of Sangha, then the Triple Gem has deep meaning. They become, you see the embodiment of Dhamma. You see people who live it up. Of course, put aside those who abuse, that's another story. When we talk about excellence of a Sangha, we are talking about when the Sangha perform as a Sangha properly. If the Sangha perform as a Sangha properly, it's going to bring so much benefits to the world, to the people, and to the future generation. And you see, the Buddha said, when you give a donation to the Buddha, cannot compare to give a donation to the Sangha as a Sangha. You know, of course, with the Buddha as a leader in the Sangha, that is better. Why? The Buddha didn't explain why. But I can sort of understand one power of the Sangha is, it is a continuous flow, since the past to the future. So somebody will drop out from the Sangha, no problem. And other people, as long as there are people who observe the practice given by the Buddha, the Sangha will always flow into the future. Whereas the Buddha, you know, if a Buddha passed into Parinibbana, finish. Of course the Buddha is great. He's a teacher, he's the one who started, he originated all these things. But the Sangha is the one that can last a long time for the benefit of all beings. So I see this value. So the Buddha care a lot about the Sangha. The Buddha care a lot about the Sangha. The importance, the power of the Sangha. And when you talk about Dhamma power, without being, Dhamma power is just in paper. You have it in chip, you have it in your thumb drive. But if you don't have people who study it, understand it, and penetrate it, that Dhamma is not lively. It's just that you have gravity long ago. But it takes Isaac Newton to discover gravity and put it into practice and teach people how to calculate and how to measure. That's why people can now, we can send up rocket into the sky and we can have our satellite, you know, because of the calculation of gravity. So similarly, you know, if you want to talk about the power of Dhamma, it requires a living mind to practice it, to live it up, to produce the power of Dhamma, to produce liberation. So in this sense, the Sangha has a great significance and value. It's a great importance. So the Buddha put it first for the excellence of the Sangha. For the comfort of the Sangha, yes. The Sangha must live in comfort. Not to say luxury, but must be able to, without obstacles, without all unnecessary obstacles, so that we can practice, focus, practice for the Dhamma. The Buddha created this Sangha system so that we can do away with unnecessary obstacles. There are enough difficulty in the journey towards liberation. Why create more difficulty unnecessarily? We don't meditate in the... we don't bring the beginners and meditate at the junction. No, we don't do that. The road junction is too noisy, too a lot of danger and problem. You know? Yes, this is the comfort in this sense is not luxury, it's condition conducive for liberation, for the effort, for making striving for liberation. For curbing the impudent bhikkhus. Yes, there are people who don't behave well, then the Vinaya is the one to control. How? Okay, the Buddha set the rules that you are not supposed to use money. If you want, you can only use allowable requisites, which is like etiquette, in a bowl, ropes. You know, the Buddha allow that. And when the Buddha laid out the rules, when we practice like that, when nobody give money like that to monk, but they only offer allowable requisites, they can throw the kapya, then the people will... If the monk need allowable things, only he can ask. He cannot ask for not allowable things. That is the significant. So a lot of problems due to the related to the money and cannot happen. Then there's, you know, and Sangha's life is dependent on the lay people for material needs and material support. That is a kind, by itself, it is a kind of check and balance. You have to do your job. If you don't do your job, who will feed you? It's very easy. Who will feed you? If you don't win your respect for supporting you. Isn't it so? So at one time I was in a Buddhist country. I know there was a place where the monks, they drink liquor. You know, they do the wrong things, they take dinner. Then I asked, how can it happen? Because there will be devotees, there must be devotees who come to offer you, you know, all the wrong things to enjoy. How can it happen? Then they told me, no, this monk, they have property. They have property. Yes, it was given by the ancient kings for the monastery so that they just receive rent. I saw with my own eyes one time, I saw a lot of rice, you know, bags of rice, you know, on the floor. You know, people just brought by the villagers. Then I asked, wow, the villagers are so good. They even offer rice to the monastery. They said, no, this is their rental for the land. Because they are plowing, they are doing plantation on the monastery land given by the king. So now they have to pay to the monks. So if the monks are earning like that, the life is not dependent on the lay people, then who cares? He can do anything. I'm your boss. Who are you going to question me what I'm doing? So you see, this is how the Vinaya serves to curb the impudent bhikkhus. You see, in the place where if the monks do the wrong things or whatever, the good monk also cannot get the support. People don't have no confidence in the Sangha. So at the end, the good monk cannot function. But you see, for the comfort of the well-behaved bhikkhus, when the wrongly behaved one, impudent one, they are curbed, then the well-behaved one, they can live in comfort, they can strive for their liberation. You see, this is the Vinaya. The Buddha had this consideration. So the first two are for the Sangha as a whole, then the third and fourth is for the bhikkhus, for the individual bhikkhus to for the protection. Yes, it's true. Some of you say for protection, it's true. But the Buddha gave it precisely. Restraining defilements of present life. Yes. Certain things are to restrain our defilement so that we don't defile our mind. You guard yourself, you know. For example, man and woman relationship. You know, this is also one. The Buddha say, make sure it is clear. Well, maybe people ask us, you know, what is the problem of shaking a hand with a woman? Yes, when you can shake hand, you can do other things. You know, there must be some kind of line to draw. You see? And what's the problem of arahant shaking hands with a woman? Arahants don't do that. They never do that. Why? Because if the arahants will do that, some other people will pretend to be arahant. They will do that. Okay? So this is restraining. And preventing defilements of next life. When you program yourself in such a way, you develop such a tendency and things like that, then certain kind of pattern, the mind pattern, will carry forward to future life. And you, if you live like that, you will be, defilements also can be curbed. Okay? And this is further, this is insight into what presently happened can affect the future. This must definitely has something to do with the Buddha's dependent origination wisdom. You know, being able to see the cause and effect into the future. Arouse faith in the faithless. People who don't have faith. But if you follow the Vinaya, you know, it is easy to let people have a faith. When the monks follow Vinaya, they trust, people trust. You cannot do wrong things. You cannot harm people. You know, that's the things. Enhance faith of the faithful. More faith. If people who have faith, they will enhance more faith. So, two for Sangha, two for individual, because two for the, one is for present, one for future, you know, for the curbing of defilements, then the seven and eight for the faith, to arouse faith in the faithful and enhance faith in the faithful. Number nine, establish true Dhamma. The Vinaya has a function to establish true Dhamma. Now, this is a further, you have to know more about the Vinaya. Certain things, when the monks misrepresent the Dhamma, they start to tell the wrong things. In the Vinaya, we have a rule to curb. And then it can take action, rightful Vinaya action. So that, for example, if a if in a place, if the monks corrupt the lay people, what do you mean to corrupt the lay people? Let the lay people do whatever wrong things, and then they just please the lay people and don't correct them. And such a monk, and if the Sangha comes, the Sangha can give an order, chase the monk away. You have stayed here for too long. You have corrupt the lay people. You have corrupt yourself. You are no more suitable to stay here. You should leave. Go somewhere else to restart your spiritual life and do behave in another place. But here, because you are get used to that, sometimes yes, when you get used to that, then it's difficult to change. It's difficult for the monk to say, oh, in the past I was wrong, devotees, now let's change together. Many people cannot do that. The best is you go to somewhere else and you restart your new leaf of your life, and here let the coming Sangha establish the Dhamma way. So establish a Sangha. There's certain rule are meant for that. Fostering discipline, to protect the discipline itself. We have a rule that saying that if you are not sure whether this is an offense or not an offense, then you are supposed to not to do. If you do, even though it is allowable, but if you are not sure and you do it, then yeah, it is an offense. And such a rule protect the discipline. And certain rules are strict liability. You know, for example, if you have a liquor, a certain percentage of liquor in the drink which you are not aware of, and you don't even get it. So when you drink and you get, it is an offense, even though you don't particularly, you are not aware. It's strict liability. It's just a traffic rule, strict liability. You know, the traffic police won't talk to you and say, well, we are well-intended. No, we don't say. If you break the rule, you break the rule. So for minor rules especially, more minor rules belong to this class, strict liability, to ensure, to bring out the awareness and sense of responsibility and care and carefulness in observing the rule. So the Buddha has this consideration in mind. Two for Sangha, two for the lay, the individual monks, and one for present life, one for future life, this is for the time, and two for the faith, and one for the Dhamma, and one for the Vinaya. So it's so profound consideration. Okay, it's about lunchtime. Okay, now, 10 purpose of Vinaya you can see, yeah? 2 for Sangha, 2 for Bhikkhus, 2 for time, present time and future time in regarding overcoming defilements, restraining and preventing defilements. Then 2 for faith, and 1 for Dhamma, 1 for Vinaya itself. The Vinaya protect Vinaya itself. There are more to say. I just quote one or two examples. That's why it is important for us to humble ourselves when we have some discussion about Vinaya. We don't simply challenge the Vinaya. We may ask, but we must respectfully ask and not challenge the Vinaya. Because the Buddha's consideration was so profound. His far sight so profound. So just now I was asking you all, do you know the purpose of the Vinaya, then actually this is correct, purposes, so we should change to 10 purposes of Vinaya over there. So I ask, but it's not easy to get all this, right? Not everyone can just, without previous knowledge, and come up with this. I don't even have that ability to come up with these 10 purposes. So how are we going to say we want to judge a Vinaya? No, we are not in no position to do that. Even the arahants in the first Buddhist council, they could not, all the 500 arahants, with all their Patisambhada achievement, the higher knowledge, they could not agree on what are the minor rules. They are not foolish, they are wise people, they are fully enlightened people. But still they could not agree on what were the minor rules that which the Buddha said, okay, this one you can change. That's why they chose not to change. Why? Because even though the Arahants have the knowledge and wisdom of liberation, but the Sabbanyuta Jnana, the profound far sight of the Buddha in establishing Vinaya, the Arahants didn't share that knowledge. So who are we? We are in no position to question. As long as we follow the teaching of the Buddha, we have the opportunity for liberation, we can be liberated, we should be happy enough. In this era, we can still have the opportunity to practice and to be liberated, we should be happy enough. You should not bargain and argue on things like that. Look at those traditions who are very liberal. Look at those traditions. Where are they? Where they stand? They are very pleasing. They are very agreeable to everybody. What happened to them? Can they have this kind of pristine teaching preserved by conservative tradition? No. No. All liberal, very liberal groups all end up diluting their teaching. Starting by diluting one or two, which they believe is very sure, no problem. I've seen with myself, one of my previous teachers, when he started to dilute one or two, his student will dilute more and change more. That's why in our tradition, we don't change. Even though sometimes we may realize that certain rules was particularly meant for the Buddha's time, that time. But still we don't want to change. For example, the toilet rule. The toilet and the bathroom supposed to be separated. Because you know the ancient toilet? You know that. It's all just go down. How can you take bath there? If you take bath there, all the water pour in, more smell. Isn't it so? But the modern toilet is completely different. Right or not? Yes. But still today, in a strict tradition, in the building, the kutis and monas, kutis for monks, they always separate the toilet. But now there's a question whether it is actually separated if we have the bathing place wall up. Is it separated or not? You know, well, we can count it as separate. This is a toilet and that is the bathroom. You can count it. This is a dry area, this is a wet area. Possible. Possible to interpret that way. But the best is we have two separate doors. This is one, this is one. We still keep to that. So in Burma, they still try to keep to it separate. But they cannot force that. It's not imposing. It's not imposing. Because it's too costly. You have to build two rooms. One for toilet, one for bathroom. So this is just one example to quote to you. That certain things may be specific for that area. That era, that period of time. But still, the monks, they try not to change. They try as much as they can to stick to it. Because if we start changing, one person starts changing, another person will start changing, another person will start changing. Okay? Just now that one was a bit slightly from another place. There are 10 purposes of Vinaya. This is the first source of values. In what sense these 10 purposes of Vinaya is a value for us? It is important because it was a consideration of the Buddha when he propounded Vinaya. These were the 10 concerns of the Buddha. It reminds us that we too should have these 10 concerns whenever we do something, because we care. These are the 10 aspects that we should care. Okay? So in that sense, these 10 purposes of Vinaya is a value for us. Now we go to the next. Now this second thing. 4 great standards of Vinaya. This is also important values because it is a way we should think of situation which is the Buddha didn't object or the Buddha didn't permit. In such a situation, new situation, that we encounter. Every day we encounter some new situation which we don't find clear indication given in the text by the Buddha. So we apply these four great standards of Vinaya. Let's look into it. The first one, bhikkhus, this is the words of the Buddha, bhikkhus, whatever I have not objected to, whatever I have not objected to, saying this is not allowable, if it conforms with what is not allowable, if it goes against what is allowable, that is not allowable for you. You see, the standard is to check. Always check with what is not allowable, and check with what is allowable, and see how. If it conforms with what is not allowable, it goes against what is allowable, this is not allowable. Okay, the next one. Whatever I have not objected to, saying this is not allowable, if it conforms with what is allowable, if it goes against what is not allowable, that is allowable for you. Okay, very simple. Huh? And whatever I have not permitted, saying this is allowable, if it conforms with what is not allowable, if it goes against what is allowable, that is not allowable for you. Same standard. Whatever I have not permitted, saying this is allowable. If it conforms with what is allowable, if it goes against what is not allowable, this is allowable for you. So four great standards of Vinaya. Two for situation, first and second are for situation not yet objected. Then the third and fourth situation for things which are not yet permitted. So there are two categories of things, not yet objected and not yet permitted. So the standard is the same. Not yet objected and not yet permitted, the standard is the same. Two standards only. One is conform with what is not allowable against what is allowable. One is conform with what is allowable against what is not allowable. So that will decide. These two standards will decide. So it's very clear. It's always check with what the Buddha previously declared, whether it's allowable or whether it's not allowable. Then we check, pair it up and see whether it conforms with which or against which one. Okay? So this is the four great standards of Vinaya. Basically, there are only two great standards because it covers only two categories of things, not yet objected and not yet permitted. So the standards are two, conforms and not conform, or against. So two categories of things only, not allowable and allowable. So you check against this, check with this one, then you will know whether it is allowable or not allowable. So the formula is very easy to remember. Two categories of things, not yet objected, not yet permitted. Then conform with what is not allowable or what is allowable, against what is allowable, against what is not allowable. So in this way you check, you get a four great standard. Okay, easy to remember. So the principle is very clear. Always check with the past records, and from there we derive our practice, whether we should do or we should not do. Okay, the third one. Seven qualities of Vinaya experts. Why we want to talk about this? Because sometimes we find Buddhists not humble enough. People who know a little bit, they think they know a lot. So it is very easy to make this kind of mistake. And people always have a tendency to judge others. And when they judge others, usually it's to their own defilements and to the embarrassment or discomfort of other people. This is not beneficial. So we have to be very humble. What are the... Can we consider ourselves very really Vinaya expert? We check. Ask ourselves, what the Buddha said about it? Seven qualities. In fact, there are different sets of seven qualities. We choose the most common, the easiest to explain. In the text, in the sutta, there are actually at least three or four sets. mentioning seven quality with slight variation. Okay? So now we look at this. The first one knows what is offense. You must know what is an offense. He knows what is not offense. What is not an offense. So you know what is right, okay, and not okay. Third one, he knows what is light offense. 清潔, 犯清潔. He knows what is grave offense. 重的, 重戒, big mistake. Great offense. So you see here, up to here we know. It is not enough to just to say this is right or wrong. This is offense, not offense. It is further you need to understand whether it's a light offense or whether it's a grave offense. When people don't know how to differentiate, or they seem to, even small things, they make it a big thing and blow it up. But still, the Buddha taught us to care. Even if it's the slightest mistake, we take it seriously not to offend, not to commit an offense. But still, we need to be able to differentiate. This is very important. Then the fifth one means good conduct. The person must be virtuous, restrained by patimokkha. Patimokkha for the bhikkhu is now 227 rules, and etc. And the following, like in the Vibhanga, in the commentary, and things like that. We need to restrain. So restrain by patimokkha includes the whole class of the training. Then he has a good conduct, seeing danger in minute faults, and apply training rules, whatever given by the Buddha. For example, the Buddha told, if you have to recite, if you stay in the forest, daily you should recite the Kanda Paritta. So we recite, okay, this is like you are following the training rules. Okay? Then, mastery of concentrations. Mastery of concentrations. It means you can easily enter into the jhana, have a good mastery of it, all the eight attainments. So these are the things. If you have, then it is good. Mastery of concentration. Number seven, destruction of taints. Means arhanship. So you need to be arhan, to be really an expert in Vinaya. So you look at it as a summary. The first four is about reading. You read up, you can acquire these four qualities. The fifth one is sila, actually. The sixth is samadhi. Then the seventh is panya. That means the first four is knowledge. Number fifth is sila. Sixth is samadhi. Seventh is panya. Then many people may question, why is it this Vinaya usually we classify under sila? Why this classification under sila? We have a concentration training also included, wisdom training also included. Why? I can quote you a simile, I think so. It's good. If you are a very good person who plant a fruit tree, you say you are a very good farmer. But if your fruit never fruit, only flower. Okay, at least you show something. Produce flower. But if it doesn't fruit, yes, they are not good enough. So a good farmer will always produce a final result to you. Then when you taste the fruits, okay, this is sweet, this is good. This is good fruit. Then you say, well, this farmer is very good. So in the same way, I think because the result tells it, even though we don't want to attach to the result, but the result tells it. So this is important. That's why people who practice, who know Vinaya, study Vinaya, it is good to be humble. There's still a long way to go for us. So let's be humble so that we don't assume the air of a master and go around criticizing other people. This is very important. Okay? Just these three things will help a long way. This understanding of these 10 purposes 10 purposes, should have one more S, of Vinaya, 4 great standards of Vinaya, 7 qualities of Vinaya experts. This will help us a lot in shaping our attitude towards our human interaction, our community life, things like that. And the next one, Dhammas for non-decline of bhikkhus. This one, if you want to read, you can see in our chanting book. We have this, Dhammas for non-decline of bhikkhus. There are 6 sets of them. 6 sets. We will go through it. This is quite a lengthy one. One, two, three, four, five, six. 6 sets of Dhammas for non-decline of bhikkhus. This is given in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. Within 4 months before the Buddha entered into Parinibbana, then we have this. The Buddha gave this teaching in that sutta. Okay? So if we care, then we have to protect this. So even though this instruction were given for the bhikkhus, but similarly, we can understand it is useful for everybody, for our Buddha sasana, Buddha's dispensation to last. Okay, the first set. Assemble frequently and assemble in large numbers. In the Sangha, assemble frequently and assemble in large numbers. This is one factor for the growth, for the non-decline of bhikkhus. Meet, disperse, and attend to the affairs of the Sangha harmoniously. You come together harmoniously, you live each other harmoniously, and throughout the whole process, you perform things harmoniously. Then the third one, appoint no new rules. Do not abolish the existing ones, but proceed in accordance with the code of training laid down. Show respect, honor, esteem, and veneration towards the elder bhikkhus, those of long standing, long gone forth, the fathers and leaders of the Sangha, and think it worthwhile to listen to them. Now, this is the advice given by the Buddha. Of course, the Buddha didn't say, he didn't know that there was young Samanera, 7 years old, already attained Arahantship. The Buddha did meet a young Samanera bhikkhu without reaching the age of 20. There are exceptions the Buddha allowed. But generally, the Buddha wants the younger one to respect the elder one. Of long standing, not gone forth, fathers and leaders of the Sangha, and think it worthwhile to listen to them. In fact, in the Vinaya, in the further details one, it is given a lot of details about how the junior, how the student will have to show respect and honor the elders, including, you sleep later before your teacher sleep, you serve and wait for your teacher sleep first and you sleep, and then you get up before your teacher get up. Including your preparing the many things, the water for washing the feet, water for bringing the bowl, going for pindapata, there are many, many things. But nowadays, not possible. Because nowadays, the younger generation all want to sleep a long time. They sleep a lot. So, for example, if we sleep 4 hours or 5 hours, then they cannot. They have to suffer. So because of that, sometimes we have to tell them, you sleep, make sure you got enough sleep, because they are young. So it's the other way around. But the ancient training is very tough. Ancient training is you don't sleep before your teacher sleep. You wake up before your teacher wake up. This is the way. And never let the teacher wait upon you. You wait for your teacher. Always go ahead before your teacher arrive. This is always a rule. This is important. But nowadays it's upside down. What can we do? Do not come under
power of the craving that leads to fresh becoming. Okay, try. Because once you become a monk, you aspire to end of suffering. So, that leads to craving to fresh becoming. During the Buddha's time, there was one, the Buddha's brother, half-brother, Nanda. You know, he was practicing in order to get nymphs, the devis, beautiful devis in next life. That's no good. But luckily he changed because of his parami ripened and he was teased by other Sangha brothers and eventually he changed. Then cherish the forest death for their dwellings. Monks should always stay in the forest. Always. But people say, no, we like to stay in the town because the town need me. Many people need me. But the Buddha told the monks to go to the forest, to dwell in the forest. But nowadays, we find people explaining why the forest is so good. Because of the air, because of the iron you get in the air. So the air is very good. Keep us fresh and always wanting to practice Dhamma. Okay? Then establish themselves in mindfulness so that virtuous brethren of the order who have not come yet might do so and those already come might live in peace. So that means, what does it mean? We must be welcoming to others. How to be welcoming? By practicing our mindfulness so that it will make it pleasant for other Sangha to join me. Of course, not to make the impudent want to join us, but if you practice well, then the virtual Sangha would like to join us. This is the attitude. That means we must guard ourselves so that we will be, in essence, in effect, really welcoming for other Sanghas. Okay? These are the seven. Assemble large numbers harmoniously. Don't try to change the rules. Then honor the elders. Don't come under the craving for rebirth. Dwell in the forest and establish in mindfulness so that it will be welcoming for the virtuous one to join us to live in peace. Then the second group, second set, do not delight in, not pleased with, not fond of works. What does it mean? Monks should not be happy, like to do a lot of work. What does it mean? What kind of works? These are the worldly chores. You want to do this, do that, do that. Monks should not be happy doing that. Should not enjoy doing that. It doesn't mean you not to do your meditation works. It means the other works. So that because our main job is meditation, our main mission, our main duty is for liberation. So this is very important. Do not delight in, are not pleased with, not fond of talking. Of course, the Buddha did say, if it's good, they come, monks, when they come around, you discuss about Dhamma, it's okay. But when you say fond of talking means, you just like to talk for the sake of talking only. Like this. So find something to talk. This is no good. But if it's good, talking good things, that's all right. So there are topics like, talking about sila, samadhi, panya, talking about contentment, talking about morality, talking about the journey, the practice. Okay, this is good. Do not delight in, are not pleased with, and not fond of sleep. Don't enjoy sleep. So what should we do? How much you should sleep? So the ideal way, according to one master, advice I find very useful, is if you wake up naturally, and then... Why? You all wake up naturally long time? No, not like that. You make sure you really sleep when you need to sleep, and tired, and you work very hard in the day. No, then you fall asleep. No, you, if you wake up naturally, if you are not fall asleep, usually your sleep will be very good quality, have very good quality. No dream, or almost no dream, or very little dream. Then you wake up and don't lie down there waiting, you know, do something useful. Get up. Are you doing like that? Wake up naturally. I think so. If you wake up naturally, I think according to age, younger people may sleep a little more. Older people, you know, for us, we cannot sleep more than, for me nowadays, if it is 4 or 5 hours is the standard limit. More than that is a bit difficult. But once in a while, because of exhaustion, then we sleep more, maybe 7 hours. Worst come to worst, 8 hours. But 5 hours, easy. But if it's a daily meditation, a lot of meditation in retreat, then the sleeping time will be less. 4 hours, 3.5 hours, 3 hours, possible. If we meditate a lot. So let it, I took that master's advice very seriously, and I find it is natural. If I need to sleep, I rest. If I don't need to sleep, I just get up. But don't lie down there and think. Because if you don't sleep efficiently, you will not work efficiently. When you don't work efficiently, your sleeping quality is bad. It's not how much you sleep that matters. It is how well you sleep that matters. You dream a lot. As you dream a lot, that means your sleeping quality no good. Your sleep, dream. Who sleep got no dream? Or very little dream. No. Yes. Yes, this is important. If you have very little dream, very efficient sleep. Very efficient sleep. Try to do that. So try to, maybe you can take 1 week to train yourself. I would suggest 1 week will make a difference. Throughout the whole week, you make sure every day you exercise a lot. You climb a hill, exhaust yourself, and don't go to sleep before the time. Even you get sleepy, exert a bit until maybe 9 o'clock. Okay? And you go to sleep. Don't put alarm. And the moment you get up, you're awake, get up immediately. Don't lie down anymore. Even if you feel you don't have enough sleep still, don't care. Then whole day you work, you exhaust yourself until another 9 o'clock. And you go and sleep in this way, repeatedly, I think for 7 days, I think you will cut the habits of lai chuang. What is lai chuang in English? You always like to snooze. You sleep, after that you put the alarm, snooze. Then you sleep. No, it means sticking to your bed. Lai chuang, Chinese say lai chuang, means getting stuck to your bed. You are awake, but you just enjoy lying there. No, daydream. Snooze. To snooze. Should not, no snoozing. So try. I encourage you all, and not to force you cannot have sleep. No, this is also not good. But you train yourself in 1 week in this way. Fix the time to sleep. And then, the moment you're awake, you get up. Whether you got enough sleep or not enough sleep, you will get up and no more lying down until the next day, the right time to sleep, you go and sleep. Do it continuously for 7 days. I think you can get over the habits of lai chuang, snoozing. It doesn't matter, okay, 1 day or 2 days. We do that continuously for 7 days and see what happens. You know? Once you get up, you get up. Okay, maybe the first day you sleep long. Okay, never mind. You get up, never lie again. Throughout the day. If afternoon nap, according to Xiaoji taught me last time, 3 to 5 minutes. Afternoon nap, take 3. If you want to take a nap, the Buddha only took a nap during the summer. Also on this position. Lion's posture. If you want to take a nap, take 3 to 5 minutes. Just to let the blood flow to the brain and feel good. Balance a while and get up. Saraji advice. So try to do that. You know. Mm. Yeah, actually you don't need to sleep a lot, you know. Try to see something. Try to do something like that. Try to see the difference if you try the new habits for 7 days and see what happens. Do not delight in and not pleased with, not fond of company. Is it contradicting to the first one? No. The first one say assemble in large number. That is for the Sangha business. Not for fun. When the Sangha have a Pavarana, Patimokkha, main Dharma work, or listening to Dharma, meeting the teacher, okay. But not in this way of a form of company, click together, this or that. This is important. Do not harbor, do not come under the spell of evil desires. What are the evil desires? For name, for fame, for pleasure, for things. These are should not come under the spell of evil desires. Have no bad friends, no bad associates, no bad companions. You can get all this in our chanting book if you want to see the complete details. These are all the keywords only. Do not stop practice due to trifling achievement. Yes, some people after they get a jhana, first jhana, they feel so proud about it, they stop. I have students who practice like that. They got first jhana, so happy. And because all other people are not practicing well, so then get proud. Then after they get stuck for many, many years. So do not stop due to trifling achievement. In fact, the Buddha said the only time to stop is after you attain arahantship. That's the only thing. But even arahant, they don't stop. They always like to go into Nirodha Samapatti. They like to go to the cessation attainment. Okay? They always like to meditate. The Buddha like to meditate also even after becoming a Buddha. For comfort, for recharging the energy. Like that only. So the second group. Do not delight in, please. This is one is works, talking, sleep, company. Four things. Then evil desires. Then wrong companies, then stopping the practice. Then the third group, have faith, have moral shame, means you feel shy, doing bad things you feel shameful. Have moral fears, thinking that, bad things will get bad result. Fourth, proficient in learning, good in learning. Then diligent, mindful, wise. Have faith, have moral shame, moral fear, proficient in learning, diligent, mindful, wise. These are the third group of Dhamma which enable the monks not to suffer decline. So the first is like gathering, rules like gathering. This is a general operation. Things like not fond of sleep, not fond of work, these are more for our own protection, guarding. This is also for our protection. Then the fourth group. Develop the enlightenment factor of mindfulness. Develop the enlightenment factor of investigation of Dhammas. Develop the enlightenment factor of effort. Develop the enlightenment factor of joy. Of course, this is not sensual joy. This is enlightenment factor of joy. Develop the enlightenment factor of tranquility. Develop the enlightenment factor of concentration. Develop the enlightenment factor of equanimity. So, seven factors of enlightenment. Because when we develop seven factors of enlightenment, our practice will progress. This will make us establish in the Dhamma. Then the fifth set. Perception of impermanence. This can be starting from our ordinary perception of impermanence, thinking that our beloved one passed away, things are changing, from to the point of ultimate reality. Perceiving the ultimate reality in Vipassana, you see the ultimate reality, then materiality, mentality, and their causes, vanishing away, keep vanishing away. This is a perception of impermanence. When we have this perception of impermanence, we don't get hooked up with things. We don't get tied up. This is the protection. Pride do not arise. Perception of non-self. There's no permanent entity. There's no real commander inside. No permanent entity. So this perception of non-self also very useful, very important to overcome our defilements. Perception of impurity because of our lust and craving arise. So sometimes when we have this perception of impurity, it helps us to overcome our lust. Perception of faults or formations. This is already in the Vipassana stage. But you can reflect also on the grosser level. But in actual, really it means the perception of faults or formations. That the arising of passing away of materiality, mentality and their causes, they are actually no good. Faults, in a sense, no good. Not reliable. Not something that we can really depend upon. So this is the thing. So if we understand that, how can we quarrel and fight over things which can change? Perception of relinquishment. This is also Vipassana stage. When you go further, you let go. Perception of dispassion. Yes, this is also Vipassana stage. You get away. You just don't like. You let go. You have dispassionate towards the formations. Perception of cessation. Yes, everything come to cease. Especially for Nibbana. So this is important. Then the perception, these are the wisdom training. These are the wisdom training, all wisdom training, this category. Then the last one, these are only got six. Instead of seven, you have six. Treat each other with loving kindness indeed, both openly and in private. The Buddha cares a lot about openly and in private. In our action, actions should have loving kindness. For example, the Buddha say we should share our food with others. You know, we have good things, we share, we have material, we have robe, we share with our friends. These are the treating each other with loving kindness. Then treat each other with loving kindness in words. When we speak, in our speech, use a correct speech, inspiring speech. Sometimes we need to admonish. Admonish also with loving kindness, thinking that this will be helpful for my company in the holy life. This will be the good conduct for them. Good progress for them. Treat each other with loving kindness in thought, both openly and in private. So even thinking should not harbor hatred and things, should have loving kindness. In respect of what they receive as due offerings, even the contents of their alms bowl, they do not make use of them without sharing them with virtuous members of the community. Do you see that the unique part of this? Share. What is the share? If you have anything, share. The sharing spirit is very important for the Sangha to be united, to trust each other, to be friendly with each other. But with the Buddha emphasized, with virtuous members of the community, not with the not virtuous member of the community. Okay? So that this will encourage the right things. The people will think, it is good to be virtuous, because this is the way. Then the fifth one, live with their fellow bhikkhus who train themselves openly and in private in the same rules of conduct, which are complete and perfect, spotless and pure, liberating, praised by the wise, uninfluenced by mundane concerns, and favorable to concentration of mind. That means let the wise people stay together. Let the virtuous ones stay together. The Buddha never say, treat everyone equally. No, not like that. You regard, of course, we have impartial love for everybody. We have to train ourselves with impartial love. But in the management, in leadership, in our operation, we give regards to good things. When we give regards to good things, then the good things will flourish. So this is a management principle. It's a management principle. Even though in terms of love, a loving kindness, we try to be impartial and love everyone in the same way. But in terms of regards, we give good regards to those who train themselves well. Okay. So why we have to do like that? Do you understand why? In any community, if the good forces are predominant, that community will flourish. In any community, the bad forces are predominant, then that community will go down. So, when we have this kind of spirit, we are giving precedence, we are giving priority, giving importance, giving respect to good elements in the community. Then live with their fellow bhikkhus who preserve openly and in private the same view that is noble and leading to liberation, and that leads to utter destruction of suffering. Same view. You see, the Buddha never said you have to stay with everybody. Stay with those who share the same view only. If it is not the same view, no. In leadership, we care a lot about this positioning. If you have a wrong positioning, it's a lot of trouble. It's a lot of trouble. That is why we set certain rules for our organization. Those who satisfy this rule, those who observe and respect this rule, they come. If they don't, okay, please, you have your choice to go elsewhere. This is very important. You try to go against this and see what happens. And we go against this, go against the teaching of the Buddha, and you will see what happened at the end. But by the time you realize what happened, it's too late. You may not be able to rectify the mistake. So this is the thing, okay? So loving kindness in deed, word, and thought. Then sharing. Then dwelling. Dwelling with the virtues and dwelling with the right view. Dhammas for non-decline of bhikkhus. Okay, sixth set. Imma Parinibbana Sutta. Okay. 10 qualities inspiring confidence. This was given by the Buddha, but it came into discussion when the Buddha entered into Parinibbana after the Buddha entered into Parinibbana. Then at one time, there was one Brahmin, I think. He asked Venerable Ananda, now did the Buddha appoint any Sangha leader after he passed away? Anyone takes over the Buddha's duty as Sangha leader? Then Venerable Ananda said, no. No. Then you are without a leader. You are without a guide. Then Venerable said, no, not like that. Then the person got confused. I asked you whether the Buddha appoint any leader, you say no. But when I ask you that you have no leader, then you say, no, not like that, you have a guide. You have guide. Then Venerable Ananda explained, the Buddha already laid down 10 qualities that inspire confidence. Then if there are anybody who have having these 10 qualities, naturally the Sangha will take him as a Sangha leader, as a, accept his guidance, accept his advice. So the Sangha is not without guide. So what are these 10 qualities? You want to know? Very high, huh? Very high. These 10 qualities. You want to guess? Very high. 10 qualities inspiring confidence. None of us qualify. The first one is virtuous. Even this is, there are many things. The Buddha said virtuous in many ways, this and that. You have to read up the suttas. You can read up. But in simple terms, it means virtuous. Second, learned. Have a lot of knowledge in the pariyatti. Learned. Third is contented. Especially before requisites, the bull, you get whatever, with the rope, with the dwelling place, and with medicine. Okay, if you get, you get. You don't get, never mind, contented. Okay? Then the fourth, mastery of concentration. Mastery of concentrations means this person can enter into any jhana state as he wish. This is an achievement in concentration. The fifth, supernormal power. There's a lot of description about supernormal power. Being one, can be many, can fly in the air, can do all these things. Yes, these supernormal powers. Six, divine ear. From far can hear the voice, can hear even to the deva realm, the talking, whatever, divine ear. Seven, mind reading. Can read the mind, can read people's mind. No need interview. Recollection of past lives. Can know many, many past lives. Can know the beginning of the world, the evolution, the destruction of the world, and then how the world comes to be, evolution. These are the recollection of past life. Number nine, divine eye. Divine eye. Divine eye, not only in terms of seeing far away, can also see because of what karma this person reborn here and what karma reborn there. These are the divine eye. Okay? And destruction of things. Destruction of things means arahantship. So if you get such an arahant who have these 10 qualities, then naturally, the leadership comes naturally. Because when anyone who can have these 10 qualities inspire confidence, then you don't need to talk about any leadership. These are the leadership. This is the most powerful leadership. The leadership that we are talking about is just for ordinary people to organize ourselves and things like that. These are the real leadership. Because once you have the Dharma power so powerful, then you don't need to talk much. Very easy to lead. Very easy to lead. You don't need to work so hard. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to scold people. You don't need to do this. You know? Very easy. So these are the things. The really powerful leadership come from here. Virtuous, learned, contented, mastery of concentration, then having the six kind of psychic power, 5 to 10, 6 kinds of psychic power. The last psychic power is the attainment of arahantship. So do you want to develop this kind of Dhamma leadership? You want to develop? Hopefully this life. Yes. If you acquire these 10 qualities, Bhante Mangala no need to talk much here already. Yes. Natural leader. In the Dharma world, these are the qualities that empower a person become a natural leader. So like that only. So who are we in the Dharma? Who are we in the Dharma? We are still far, far away. Frankly speaking, we are still far, far away. The Buddha advises to go long, long. Really, there's a long way we can go. There's so much we can achieve. It is important. So some people say, no, psychic power not important. It's wrong. The Buddha never says psychic power not important. If we cannot practice, okay. But don't say it is not important. It is very useful. Very helpful. We are not talking about the black magic. We are talking about real psychic power arising out of extremely, perfectly pure mind. So, good. I still think of early on, some time ago, we worry about whether we have enough funds for etiquettes. You know? If you have this thing, no need etiquette. We save a lot of money. How nice, huh? Okay. Sources of values. 10 purpose of Vinaya, 4 great standard of Vinaya, 7 qualities of Vinaya expert, Dhammas for non-decline of bhikkhus, 10 qualities inspiring confidence, and many, many others. If you want to continue the list, there's a lot. But especially we highlight the important things for conduct, for how we should manage ourselves, from the Vinaya, so that we got the basic, we get the basic. So there's another aspect which we can refer, like sort of take it as a study, but not really from the Dharma, but can be a bit helpful sometimes. We look at what other people apply, how they apply values for their group, for their team. One example I want to use is the values in the football team. Okay? Soccer. Or in America, soccer, sorry. In the world, outside America, we say football. Your football is different. Our football is like this. American football. This is soccer. Okay, values in the soccer team. Which are the famous team in the world? Any famous team? Huh? Yeah, soccer team. Any famous team? Last time we have Liverpool. You know? Manchester United, something like that. What is it called? Chelsea. And America. Okay. So you see, a good football team, usually those football teams that can perform well, they have certain qualities. I'm not saying that we want to follow and learn from the football team. I'm saying that if a football team, for the sake of football, they can have certain qualities that make them unite, then it will be very shameful for a spiritual team. If we can't even have certain basic qualities as you find in football team. Understand or not? Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we spiritual people have to go and learn from the football team and as if we have nothing, as if we have no substance from the Buddha. We have better things from the Buddha. But I'm just saying that I see good things in football team, you know, good successful football team or any football or any maybe NBA or any team. We see certain good things in them. So if certain good qualities that we find in the worldly, secular organization, which make them perform well as a team, and if we spiritual group people, we can't even have those qualities, I think it's very poor. It's very bad. So that's the idea of bringing us football team. Not to say that we don't have better things from the Buddha. Okay, please don't get me wrong. So let's study. Have a look as a reference. The first one, the football team care about optimizing individual and the team. You see, if a football team cannot optimize the individual player, the team will not be good, right? If a strong, like those days, my time, Maradona, you know, Maradona from Argentina, right? Argentina, I remember. Pele also from Argentina. So if the football team cannot allow the individual to perform well, everyone must perform equally, then this football team cannot score. You must allow the individual talents, the special one, to perform to the best of his ability. But at the same time, you cannot be selfish. If everyone wants to optimize himself and ignore the rest, then he cannot function as a team. You won't create opportunity for your team members, your teammates to score. Isn't it so? So optimizing individual and optimizing the team. This is something not easy. You must have the heart. The certain attitude must come up. This is the first principle. Then we move on to the next and see. They have the mastery of strategies and tactics. What are the tactics and what are the strategies? Strategies are overall consideration. Overall. Look at the team as a whole. How are you going to post your people, position your people? How are you, what kind of members, especially the professional team, they will buy over certain players to come over. They have the overall strategies. How they can motivate each other. Overall strategy. And tactic is more like for the individual player to carry out. How they want to score. How they want to play well, etc. Mastery your strategies and tactics. So, in the fine skills, they must be good. But strategy, overall strategies, they must be good. Only then such a team can perform well. Look at this. They rejoice for the individual outstanding performance as contribution to the team. You see, in the football, whenever somebody scored a goal, all rush over to hug. Isn't it so? They carry, they were so happy and rejoicing. You see, this is the spirit. Instead of getting jealous, well, you score and not I score. You know? You see or not? So this is a good spirit of a football. Goals and assists. Nowadays, they count how not only count how well you score, how many goals you score, also how many assists. The mean assist is how you provide the opportunity for other people to successfully score. So if you give a good pass to another person and that person score the goal, then you perform an assist. This is important. This is counted to value the value of a player. I think in NBA they do that also, right? Assist. Yes. How many assists you perform throughout the game. So in this way. So it is not only that you must always be the performer to the person who kick the ball or pass in, send in the ball. You know, you must also create opportunity for others. This is also important for your value. So some good player, very strange, is whenever they are in, the whole team perform better. Some people know, some people, they themselves perform good, but they cannot make the whole team rise up. So they also analyze. In order to pay how much to this player, they will usually the manager of the team, they will measure this thing also. Sometimes when you're in, how the good team perform. When you're not in, how the team perform. From there, they know the significance of your presence in the team. Okay? So this is very important. You don't only see solo play performance. Also. And then at the team, you see in the team, some players, their pay is 100 times more than another player. Right or not? Some player, their pay is like how many 100 millions? In the football team, sometimes even 100 millions. You know, it's almost like 25 million, something like that, you know. So it's like every day is 100,000, so much pay. You see? But how do they know? It's meritocracy. They have a way to measure how you perform, you know, your presence. What is your contribution to the team? So they pay according to cause and effect. This is how to bring out the best in people. Sorry? Meritocracy means they pay you according to your merit. Let those who, if you have the merit, be good karma or good performance. If you have good performance, you deserve a greater reward. This is meritocracy. You know, if you don't talk meritocracy, then everyone must be equal. All must be equal. But such a team cannot perform. Meritocracy is different. Meritocracy, okay, it depends on your value. So everyone become motivated to bring out the best value of oneself to the team. So when it is known as a culture, it's known as a rule, no one can be jealous of another. You know, if a person is born with talents and is trained well in his talents, then he deserves more. This is just talking about football. In the spiritual world, we don't do like that. Please, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to promote this for our spiritual world. Because we have a different yardstick. We have different values. We don't share the same value like them. I'm just saying that certain values that keep them intact and perform well for football. But we are not a football team. We are a spiritual team. Don't get me wrong. Okay? This is where we have to be very careful. We have other consideration. Not only this consideration. Okay, this is just one example to say that people can form certain values to make themselves perform and to unite themselves. So in the same way, we as a spiritual community, we should be able to do so with the values from the Buddha. This is my message, not to follow the football team. Okay, so that's why they create the kind of team culture and values. In fact, they even have a training rule for the coach, how a coach should behave in order to make the team perform well. There's a lot of things there. So team culture and values, they care about team culture and values. So my idea is that anything, you know, even in the spiritual community, we should care about our culture, our values, not to let this culture be attacked or be destroyed. The influence of the individual to the team and to others, this one already mentioned just now. And the last, I think the last one. Okay. Tao Te Ching, huh? This is from China, Tao Te Ching. I want to quote something. I translate it into English. It means, can you read? Heaven and earth last long. 天长地久. Heaven and earth last long because they don't grow by themselves and they are eternal. 天地不自生,故能长生, something like that. Likewise, the enlightened saints back away and end up in front, vacate their body and the body remains. Are these conducts not arising out of their selflessness? Alas, the selfless save themselves. The whole spirit of this Tao Te Ching, this verse, is to advocate selflessness. If you are selfless, in fact, you benefit yourself. 非以其无私呀,故能成其私. Because you are not yourself, you are selfless, you enrich yourself because you are selfless. This is nature, this is truth, actually. So this is a great master, the Laozi, discover this. Those who are selfless, who give way to others, they always end up in front. They always end up better off. Why? Because of cause and effect. Because of cause and effect, if you are good-hearted, you help others, people to grow, flourish, you give the good things to others, your life will not be bad. For the short term, your life may end up like a loser. But in the long run, cause and effect is ever true. So don't worry about being selfless. And don't worry that the selflessness will cause you, you'll make you a loser. Don't worry about that. So that's the whole idea of this verse, the Tao Te Ching. So I see this in a good football team. I also see this in a good, any good organization and good community. When people can perform like that, they always end up the best. Okay. So let this be the spirit of our organization. Selflessness. Perception of non-self. We are not creating something out, not which the Buddha didn't teach. We are just trying to take what the Buddha taught and also see how other people apply. And from there, we derive our more faith toward the Buddha's teaching, knowing that when the Buddha told us about non-self, that is wonderful teaching. Even outsiders, not in the Buddhist circle, they can aspire for that and live up to that well. What more to say? We who are disciples of the Buddha. That's the message. You know? We are not talking that we have to go outside the Buddha's teaching to look for teaching. You know, the Buddha's teaching is good enough for our liberation. But it will be, sometimes when we reflect, it is shameful if we in the Dharma world, we can't even apply a practice like people who, you know, which people for their own personal gain in the worldly, in the secular world, they can do so well to unite themselves. They can act so united way. So, one more to say, we all. So, in the spiritual world, if we fight with each other, if we are selfish against each other, then it is no good. Okay? Okay, this is a... Just simply quote some only. Not all. So, we see the values in football team. Then we remind ourselves that we should... cultivate certain good things so that in a spiritual community we can perform well. Okay, we can work well, efficiently to bring out the best of each of us. Okay, let's take a break.